This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's just gone 8 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning and we are usually joined on the line on a Thursday morning by Brother Idris Khamisa. However, Idris Bhai is not in the country today and we'll be speaking to somebody who Idris Bhai has arranged for us to speak to, Brother Abdul Haq Manak. We welcome Abdul Haq Manak on the line. He is from Lanesia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana Zunaid. How are you doing, brother?
Very, very well. Alhamdulillah, shukr. Brother Abdul Haq, thank you for joining us on Radio Islam International. And we look forward to spending the rest of the hour with you, inshallah, Aziz. Brother Abdul Haq, alhamdulillah, you've been closely connected with Idris Khamisa, and you have a little bit of history going back with Idris Khamisa. Can you give us a little bit of background of that? How did you meet him, and what is your relationship with Idris Khamisa?
Shukran, Jazakallah. Thanks for having me on radio. And I always listen to Radio Islam. And Alhamdulillah, Idris called me yesterday from England, and he said, "Brother Abdul Haq, there's an opportunity. I won't be in South Africa till later today. Is it possible for you to share your thoughts on Radio Islam?" I said, I was inspired, and shukran for calling me and allowing me to share a little time with you, my brother. How I met Brother Idris, it was about a year ago at the Senton Convention Center. There was a seminar on public speaking, and the seminar was all about how to break your number one fear in public. And when I went to that seminar, I recall it was during the month of Ramadan, and there was a registration process taking place there. And I heard this commotion and this loud noise coming, and this person greeting everyone, hugging everyone, and he had this aura, this energy, and all bubbly. And I looked at him, and I saw he's a Muslim brother. I didn't know Brother Idris a year ago. I didn't know who Brother Idris was. And then at that moment, he bumped into me, and he greeted me, "Salaamu Alaikum." I looked at him and I said, "Salaamu Alaikum." I didn't even know him, and he gave me a big hug. He says, as a Muslim brother, my first greeting is a hug, and as a Muslim brother, I hug you. I found that warmth, that loving, that caringness, and immediately at that moment I embraced him. And then I noticed he had a big bag. And it was during the month of Ramadan. And as a Muslim brother, I told him, I'm going to break Roza with you tonight. And he says, "Why do you say that? You don't even know me." I say, "I see that big bag that you have. I am sure in that bag there's samosas, there's bhajias, there's kajur, there's faluda, there's kheer." And they laughed, and that's how we first met. And he told me something that moment. He said, "Our meeting is no coincidence. Allah joins people together for reasons. And alhamdulillah, that was the reason." And after the seminar, just before the seminar was over, there were five Muslim brothers. We got together and we had a meeting, and Uncle Idris was our Amir Sahab. And together we decided how we're going to form a group on all the lessons we learned here on public speaking to different alims, young hafazes, students from Darul Ulums, how we can teach them the lessons we learned here. And that was just a small little thought of how our journey started. And a few weeks later, Uncle Idris called me and he says, "Abdul Haq, I'm in Johannesburg. Let us, we set out a task to do. We have an important mission. Let's meet and get together." And I was surprised because, you know, a lot of times when people call you, contact you, create opportunities and say we're going to meet, nothing materializes. But Uncle Idris was serious. He was focused. He said, "Let us make a difference to the ummah. And we're ready here to inspire. We're here to make a difference to the Muslim, because there's a lot of people out there who wants to listen to a message. And imagine the young hufazes, the lessons that we have learned, we can then impart it to them. We can educate them, show them how to speak in public and break that fear." And alhamdulillah, the journey started then. And a year now has passed. And we're going to do a talk at the Darul Ulum shortly with Uncle Idris, where we're going to speak and educate the students who come out of the Darul Ulum on how to speak on public. So alhamdulillah, it's been a blessing. And I was grateful to meet Brother Idris at that moment. That was our first meeting. That
Alhamdulillah, shukr. It's quite interesting. You were just happening to meet there, but as Idris Bhai mentioned to you, that it is by the will of Allah Ta'ala that two people meet, and it is for a purpose. Abdul Haq, just before we go on to the rest of your programs and things like that you've been involved with, Idris Khamisa, with, just to go a little bit into your background. You've been a cricketer, former South African cricketer, I see. You played for Transvaal, you played for the Western Province, and you were quite competitive in your days in cricket. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. While I was in, I grew up in Indonesia, and I'm a homegrown boy. And like all young boys, I had a dream. And this dream was to play cricket at the time when I was growing up. And while I was growing up, this dream was impossible because it was during the apartheid era, and there were restrictions for sportsmen at that time. But while watching, reading a magazine, and I noticed that although I couldn't play for South Africa, and although it just was a dream, this magazine showed me something about England. And I had this feeling I wanted to go to England, but I never know how or how it will ever materialize. And when I went to school, I was at Alpha Primary School and then to Nirvana High School. And at Nirvana High School, the teacher, the sports teacher noticed potential in me as a cricketer. And Shukr, one day we played in the final. I think it was in Standard 8. It was the final of a school game between two different schools, Nirvana and Lands High. And we were right on the last ball. I was bowling this ball, and we lost the game. And I was really disappointed, and I was sad that, you know, I had failed. And I had, at that moment, you know, when you fail, you just hate cricket, you hate life, you hate everything around you because you're passionate about something. And a lot of us, sometimes when we're challenged in life, have that kind of experiences. We hold back, we stop. And I was down, I was out, and a teacher, Mr. Bismillah, I recall, came to me in a classroom, and he called me. And I thought it was going to shock me because we lost, and I was all ready for this, and I was down, I was out. And he called me in the classroom, and he looked at me in the eye, and he said, Abdul Haq, I believe in you. I believe in your potential. Mm-hmm. I believe you can achieve great things in your life. This is just a stumbling block. It's just a lesson. If you grow from this, great things can happen to you in your whole life. Treat this lesson, this failure, is not just an ordinary failure. This failure can change you. But it's time that you forget, let go, and move on. At that moment, I looked at him, and I had tears in my eyes. And I was shocked. I didn't believe that someone believed in me. Even though I failed, he looked at me, and he gave me this energy. From then on, I believed in myself. I believed in my ability. And you know, just to go back to the listeners who are listening, you know, the greatest lesson I learned here was that we as parents, we as fathers, we as brothers, sisters, when we're with our children, when we're with our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, it takes just one word of encouragement, one word from your heart and soul that you care. You listen compassionately. And when you do, you can transform that next being. You can make a difference in his or her life. All it takes is encouragement. So often, we go and we hold back and we shout people, we blame them, we accuse them. And we do the ABCs, we accuse them, we blame them and we complain. But we don't do the other ABCs, we don't take action. We don't believe in them, we don't give them a choice that they've made a decision and they've learned from their mistakes. So that was a great lesson he taught me. And Alhamdulillah, I went on. At the end of the year, I made the Transvaal school side. And when I was in Matric, I got called up in an assembly. And in the assembly, Mr. Bismillah was there, and they awarded me my colors for school and the South African school side for my cricket potential. And this is it's all because when a teacher believes in you, you start believing in yourself. You know, when we believe in ourselves, we have so much power to unleash our potential. And in the assembly, he called me up, and they congratulated me, and then he gave me an envelope. And I wonder, then he says, please open the envelope. And I was like, what is in this envelope? I was nervous, I wasn't sure what was in the envelope. When I opened the envelope, I noticed a ticket. The school had raised funds in a raffle to send me to England to play cricket. And here an opportunity had come up where the local community in Nirvana had raised funds. and they had given me this opportunity to go to England. Alhamdulillah, you know, when you believe in yourself and other people believe you and people help you around you, opportunities like this come up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors for you. And yeah, I was on my way to England. And I recall Mr. Bismillah is now late. May Allah grant him Jannat al-Firdaus and fill his qabr with Noor, because he inspired me. And the lesson that I learned before I went to England was that the people that you meet can either make a difference in your life, hold you back, make you or break you. Who are the people that we are associated with? If they are affecting us, what are we doing to them? Are we allowing them to destroy us? Because in life, if we do that, we allow them to overpower us. We allow them to steal our dreams. We allow them to take over. And then we forget what we are here for. And that is to fulfill our purpose. That is to worship Allah. That is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is to serve, contribute and make a difference. When we are holding ourselves back and being negative, can we ever achieve this? It's time for us to step out. It's time for us to unleash our potential. It's time for us to fulfill our purpose in life. And alhamdulillah, that is how I went to England. And during my journey in England, when I got back, all I had to do was coach, mentor people, and teach back and give back to the communities in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So I came back as a coach. And I used to love cricket at the time and enjoying cricket. And being a loving cricket, I came back and I thought, this is life. You know, life is great and everything. I'm a cricketer and everyone know me. I appear in the newspaper. And then the apartheid turned over and I was the first non-white to represent the Transvaal team. And when I went and I played at the Wanderers Stadium in front of 50,000 people, I was live on television. And this was in 1991. The apartheid era just turned over. And here I was with an opportunity to play in front of everyone. My parents believed in me. My friends believed in me. And I thought I was somebody. But Allah has a bigger plan for us. As much as I thought this was my day and I was going to succeed, I failed. I learned another great lesson. That as much as you plan, Allah is a bigger planner. As much as you think you can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that difference to us. You know, he makes the final decision. So as much as we can plan, we can do, and alhamdulillah, I failed. But that was the biggest transformation in my life, because I learned that failure of fear, playing in front of a huge audience and getting there. And eventually I gave up. I just thought I couldn't, but I stood up. And I believed I still could, because the teacher told me as a young boy. And when I went home, you know, my parents loved me. They showed affection, even though I failed. Because sometimes when we fail, it doesn't mean it makes us bad, it makes us losers. And sometimes if our children have a bad experience at school, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that we have to support them more and maybe change the techniques, the methodology of how we were assisting them. And okay. That way they can improve.
Brother Bahak, so sorry to interrupt you there. MashaAllah, it's been very interesting listening to your whole background and the way you have, alhamdulillah, managed to get into professional cricket, to play in England. You came back to South Africa, you've played on a professional level as well. And it's inspirational for us in that we must never ever give up. Now, coming back to your relationship with Idris Khamisa, you've spent a lot of time with Idris Khamisa. Some of your experiences that you shared with him.
See, you know, most of every moment that I met Uncle Idris, it was very, very inspirational. I recall that when I pick him up at the airport, I pick him up wherever he's going to, and we travel around. So every time he comes to Johannesburg, he reaches out, and alhamdulillah, I have some time available, and I'm fairly flexible. So we travel together. And I recall one particular incident that was truly transformational in my life and realizing what Uncle Idris does. And I was surprised. I knew Uncle Idris, but I never know the work he does and what he does in his private capacity. While I was with him on the in the car, I noticed that he had about, you know, in a space of an hour, he had about six to seven calls, and all from the brothers all around South Africa with relationship challenges, with some challenge they're having in their life, especially relationship problems. And he has this way in healing people, listening compassionately, and overcoming the challenge what people truly experience. And I remember we went to a meeting, and the meeting was from 3 p.m. till about Maghrib time. It was in Lens. And during the meeting, there were like knocks on the door every time. A knock on the door, and then someone would come in. Uncle Idris would excuse himself, and then go with a couple and their kid into a room, spend 20 minutes with them, and then, you know, listen to what their challenges are, and then heal them, empower them with tools that they can change their life, how they can affect their life, and whatever challenges they are going. And he did one thing. He showed that he cared. He showed love. He showed compassion. And when they left, they, you know, there was something about them that had a different aura. They felt healed. And he hugged them, and he showed so much compassion. These people are not people that he knows. These people are no one that he has ever met in his life before. They just call him at the moment, and he picks up the phone, and there he listens to these people. And he transforms their lives. And when they leave, at the end of the day, just before we read Maghrib together, and he cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Allah, our brothers and sisters are suffering. Ya Allah, heal them. Ya Allah, we are here for a purpose. Ya Allah, let me say the right words so that I can inspire them, I can change them, and I can make a difference through you, Ya Allah. And he cries for people that he don't even know. And he makes dua for him. He says, Abdullah, you must make dua for these people. And at every opportunity, we have to help. We have to heal. We are here for a purpose. We are here, firstly, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow all his commandments. Secondly, we are here to follow the sunnah. But thirdly, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are here. We are here to serve. We are here to make a difference. We are here to help them. We are here to just show love and always be inspired, be happy. So that someone that comes and see your face, maybe that could be a form of healing for them. And it's also true that we were in this meeting, we created a workshop of I Just Have One Life. It is how individuals can take control of their own life, find their purpose in life, how they can become more proactive, how individuals can change. And Uncle Idris and I creating this program, it's a life-changing seminar sometime in at the end of May, the 23rd of May, it will probably be in Benoni at the hall at night. On the 24th of May, is doing a similar event on how people and the challenges they are having, so you can deal with many people, and they can come to seminar in Midrand, and that's only for women. And it's a whole seminar on how we can change our life, and also on the 25th. So this program was created, how to empower Muslim women, Muslim people, how they can transform their lives and unleash the potential and overcome the pain. And in fact, Alhamdulillah, he's just created, he mentioned to me, he said, Abdullah, you know, this, we need to do more. And we've created a program on the 20th of May in Indonesia at LMA. So from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, Uncle Idris will be here in Indonesia on next week, I think on the 20th, and speak at LMA to all women out there who are challenged, who are going through some kind of pain, whether it be relationship and want a better life, how they can take action, how they can turn their life around, all about this. And this was the fikr of that mashura that we had, that we created, and Alhamdulillah, it's all about serving, contributing, and it taught me some great lessons that we are all here for a reason. Every day when you wake up, make shukr, show gratitude. And those were one the experiences, what I noticed around him. As for my personal experiences, I know when I met Uncle Idris, I had all this energy, I had so much to do, I wanted to do so much. And during our journey, the one day he chatted to me, and he looked me in the eye and he said, you know, Abdullah, you have all these ideas, you want to do so much, you want to make such a big difference, you want to make a difference to the world. But the difference don't come in the world, it don't come in our community, it doesn't come in our families, it first comes with us. Change us first. Embrace yourself. Accept who you are. Know what you're here for. And then serve. And when you serve others, Allah will serve you. And I had all these ideas and actions. And he says, you have so many ideas. Just focus on one thing. Be present at that moment. Like if you're going to read namaz, focus on your salah. Focus on that moment that we go to that salah. When you walk into the masjid, your thoughts, your actions, your feelings, your body, your ears, everything must be there, focused on the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has chosen us to do that. And also when you're in a relationship or you're with people, with your wife, with your family, look at them with compassion. Be there present. How often is it that even though we are there with people, we are not there? And those were the lessons that he taught me that transformed a lot of my way of thinking. And shukr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him into my life. And I know he's healing a lot more other brothers on radio.
Abdul Haq, it's been very, very interesting. We're just going to take a short break right now because it's time for our mid-hour ad break. And I'd like to take this moment to remind our listeners to call in if you have any questions, if you'd like to ask anything, or have any comments to share, 011-854-1548. You can SMS as well on 0731738461. So it's gone 29 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned.
The Pick and Pay price drop is back. 1 million vouchers to be found. Check your till slips. Smart shoppers only. Mrs. H.S. Balls. Chutney. Assorted. 470 grams. 1590. Pick and Pay flavored soft drinks. Assorted. 2 litres. 9 rand 50. Twin Saver Luxury 2-ply toilet tissue. Assorted. 9. 40 rand 90. Stay Soft Fabric Softener. Assorted refill. 500 ml. 1690. Nestle Milo. Tin. 500 grams. 38.50. And get a Clover Long Life 1 litre milk absolutely free. Save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your smart shopper vouchers. Only at Pick and Pay. Always there for you. Prices valid 8 to 11 May. Prices apply to Gauteng stores only.
Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo que estaba cero para mí, es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Perez Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Perez Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
Wonder Dates are excited to announce the arrival of a variety of fresh dates from Medina, Dubai, Egypt and Namibia. Wonder Dates have a wide variety such as Rotab, Medjool, Mabroom, Sukari, Ajwa, Safawi, etc. Visit us at 71 Donkin Road, Seacow Lake, Durban. Contact us on 031-577-5023 or visit our website wonderdates.co.za. Wonder Dates, bringing the freshness of the farm to your home.
Radio Islam requires the services of a marketing person. Knowledge and experience in media advertising and marketing would be an advantage. Please include what your CV, at least 3 contactable references and a color copy of your ID. Email your CV to stationmanager@radioislam.co.za with the subject marketing vacancy or drop off your CV at Radio Islam, 35 Cuckoo Avenue, Lanesia.
Radio Islam.
Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati, my Ummah, my Ummah. He sacrificed, he put his life on the line on Badr and Uhud for us. For you to wake up in Tahajjud and make dua for us. We don't even look like an Ummati. We don't act like an Ummati. We don't feel like an Ummati. You have the most perfect Nabi, Imam al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, Sayyid al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, Imam al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen. You're of his Ummah. That is who you are. How many times a day do you even have the self-conception, identity that I am an Ummati? I have a Nabi. I'm not a spiritual orphan. I come from a tradition. I belong to the tradition of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Radio Islam. Radio Islam. Sound of truth.
It's 28 minutes before 12. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International and to our guest this morning, Abdul Haq Manak. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to you.
Wa alaikum salam. It's been inspiring speaking to you, brother.
Jazakumullahu khairan for your time. Abdul Haq, we were speaking about your time with Idris Khamisa and we spoke about your cricketing history as well. Challenges in life, and we've all been through those. There are high points, low points that we go through in our lives. And explain to us, give us some inspiration that you took from the challenges that you've been through in your life.
You know, I've been through many challenges, and when you speak of challenges, there was a point in my life which I was at my lowest point in my life, and I recall it was 4 years ago. I was in Cape Town, At the time, it was in December. And being a cricket fan, it was December time, and I was with my friends watching cricket. I think South Africa were playing India at the time. And I had left my family at home, where they were just at home, and, you know, I didn't even... You know, to be honest, and I have to be honest and true to myself, I was more concerned about my happiness. I was more concerned about what I need to do. And I didn't care at that time for what my family's needs were, whether it was holiday, whether I should spend time with them. And I went towards Cape Town. My friend says, come on, we got to go. And I went and I watched cricket, and I was having a great time. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, you know, he puts us through some kind of challenge in life. That although we think everything is okay, and when you go into that step where you forget about your deen, you forget about what's happening around you, you go into a motion where you just think about the ocean, basically, and you're just enjoying yourself, and you're enjoying your life, and you're having a good time, you're eating out, you're with your friends, you're laughing, you're joking, and you're playing, watching cricket. I somehow, it came on a, I think it was on a Tuesday, the Thursday, the second day of a test match. The test match started on a Wednesday in the holidays. And on the second day of a test match, it started raining. And during the rain, while it was raining, a friend said, let's go to the beach. Let's go have some fun and swim and things like that. I said, listen, I want to watch cricket. I'm passionate about cricket. And we had an argument at that moment deciding on going to the beach and watching cricket. That argument led to such a big argument that he accused me of a lot of things, and we fought, and I broke off with my friend who was my closest friend at that time. And we had one of those big fights, and I went home, and I went to the hotel, and he started shouting me, and it was really ugly. And I just thought, no more. I don't want people to tell me how I should live my life. You know, I'm where I should be actually with my family now. And I was really disappointed in myself. Because I fought with him, we broke off all business deals, all ties, and I was at the lowest point of my life because I was alone. My family were in Johannesburg, and I was in Cape Town, and I was so disappointed. I went to Lion's Head, that's in Cape Town in the mountains, and I sat there, and there was this gentleman, he looked at me, and he saw me looking down and out, and he said, how are you? And I said, oh, leave me alone. You know, when you're in that zone where nothing matters, you just give up. I was at a state where I just gave up on life. I gave up on everything. Nothing mattered to me. If that was the last moment in my life, it didn't matter. I didn't even care. But somehow, you know, there's always something that happens. And at that moment, a little dog who was limping walked right, as I was looking down, walked right beneath me, limping under my eye line. And he just passed me. And I noticed this dog limping, but I didn't take notice of it. And then I heard the master of the dog say, come up the hill, come and join me up the mountain and run with me. And I saw this dog limping on the mountain and going up this mountain. I thought, wow, this dog has got a broken leg, but he's listening to his master. He's listening to the person that has brought him into his life and share everything that his master said, no matter what challenges he's having. And I somehow looked onto the mountain, in the top of the mountain, and something was calling me to come up that mountain, because something was there. And you know when you have that moment that something is going to happen and you don't know what it is? And I was so inspired that I somehow found some kind of energy in me, and I said, you know, I'm going to beat that dog. I'm going to go faster up that mountain than that dog. But you know when you have problems, when you have issues, everything is slow. It took me 4 hours to climb up a mountain, which usually takes 30 minutes, because that's how I was dragging. And alhamdulillah, I was so tired, I came right to the top of the mountain. And for the first time, I just looked up, and I noticed Cape Town. It was sunset, and I noticed in front of me, alhamdulillah, Allah, is this your qudrat? Is this your creation? Is this beauty of the ocean and the scenery I see yours? Ya Allah, I've been alive all my life. I've been missing this. I haven't even noticed this. My life is just passing by. I don't even say shukr that I can see this and admire this. My life is just running past me. And alhamdulillah, that moment, I took a decision. Somehow that I'm going to change. I'm not going to let my life be like this. No. And there was a reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow came to me and spoke to me in a way that it's time. You can't go on like this. And we get that voice inside of us that burning desire to change. And you know, it was tough. I didn't know whether to listen to it. But somehow I had nothing to lose, and I said, I'm going to listen to that voice. And I was committed. I said, Ya Allah, I made a dua. Ya Allah, I am sorry. Ya Allah, make me maaf. Forgive me, Ya Allah. I have to be with my family. And as I ran down the mountain, I'm sure I was in about 20 minutes, I was down the mountain, and I had tears running down my eyes, and I got onto the first flight, and I rushed home, I rushed back to Johannesburg, and I came to my family, and I came home, and there was my family, and I told my wife and my kids, your father is back, your husband is back. And they looked at me and they thought, wow, he said this so many times, is he truly back? And you know, when you come and you think you want to change, and you think you are the difference now because you have changed and you've had some kind of awakening and you have found some kind of motivation in you that your life is going to be better. But the family are so used to your old habits. They're used to your behavior. They're used to what you do consistently. And they didn't embrace me completely. And wallahi, I was committed. I was focused. I knew what I want. I knew I had turned my life around. And this was the step. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. And every day I made that step, I showed more affection. And every time my wife and kids were there, I put more into them. I showed more love. I was there. I started going to the events, watching them do the schoolwork, madrasa work, whatever it is. And alhamdulillah, 6 months later, they embraced me. I felt loved again. I felt the kind of feeling that I never knew existed. And slowly, my life started turning around. I started going to seminars, workshops, events where all people speak inspiration. And I met Maulana Ibrahim Memon from Medina Munawara. It was about 2 years ago. And I had lunch with him. And I heard him speak. And I said, I feel so inspired by you, Maulana. How can I learn what you do and speak like you and inspire people like the way you do? Because you have a great message and you touch people's hearts. He said, do a few things. And I said, what is that? He said, start reading the Maaz daily. Start reading the Maaz daily. And I thought, I don't even read one Namaz. I read four Namazes in a day. I try and read just four Jummas. And that was the starting point that I used to do. And I said, yes, I made a commitment to myself. I said, Ya Allah, I want to read Namaz from the day. And it was the 1st of May, I think a year ago, 2 years ago, and it was a holiday. And he was doing a talk at Fajr in Bertram's, and he says, come for Fajr, come listen to me speak again. And I went for Fajr for the first time. It's tough waking up in the morning when you're sleeping and you hear the azan and the alarm clock goes on and you just say, give me 5 more minutes. But I didn't. I knew what I wanted. I knew that it was time for me to change my life and move towards a bigger purpose, what I'm here for. And this was the calling that I've been asking for. And I went for Fajr, and alhamdulillah, from then I started reading Namaz continuously. And suddenly barakat started coming into my life. And things started changing in my life. And alhamdulillah, through that you meet brothers like Idris. And a lot of other Muslim brothers. And I went to, go to places now like the Istima, and where we can inspire people. And now my vision has changed. From thinking about me, when I had that ego, when I had that attitude, when I thought I was somebody. Actually, we're nobody. It's all our ego that carries on. It's our emotion that gets the better of us. And when you realize that, you realize you're here for a bigger purpose. You're here to serve Allah. You're here to please Him. And when you please Him, then you feel contentment. Then you feel the peace of Salah. Because how often is it that when we do things, we don't actually do it. We're everywhere else. But when you become present, when you know where you are and what you're here for, and when you put that into motion, alhamdulillah, everything happens. When you put it, you say, Allah, as much as I can plan, as much as I can go through any challenges, but Ya Allah, I know you have a purpose for me and I will experience this. And when you embrace that, alhamdulillah, everything comes into place, brother. That's a journey of where I was at my toughest, lowest point of my life. And alhamdulillah, I had an awakening. And you know, so often we have a lot of nudges in life, as listeners may feel. A lot of times we get nudged. We get told we have to do this. We get told to change. If I didn't listen to that dog, if I didn't go up that mountain, if I didn't take action, you have to step into it. All of us are holding back. We stop, we hold back. Wallahi, if you take that effort, Allah will come running to you. If you open your arms, there is so much opportunities of abundance. Allah is waiting for us. It's time for us to step up. You know, alhamdulillah, I realized that. You know, and it transformed me. It changed me, and alhamdulillah, I'm on this journey. I'm still healing. I'm growing, and I want to get stronger onto this path.
MashaAllah. It's interesting, and we'd like to welcome our listeners as well to SMS 0731738461, and you can call in on 011-854-1548. Abdul Haq. We are going to take another break now. It's just gone to 16 before 12, and we'll be back just after that break, inshallah. Stay tuned to our listeners. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Allah, kisne patron ko milaya aur darya kar diya. Allah, kisne patron ko milaya aur darya kar diya. Kisne zarron ko uthaya aur sahara kar diya. Allah, kisne zarron ko uthaya aur sahara kar diya. Allah, kiski hikmat ne yateemon ko kiya dur yateem, kiski hikmat ne, kiski hikmat ne, kiski hikmat ne yateemon ko kiya dur yateem, aur ghulamon ko zamane bhar ka maula kar diya. قدروں کو ملایا اور دریا کر دیا کس نے ذروں کو اٹھایا اور صحرا کر دیا
Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, 40 minutes before 12, and well, a warm welcome back to our guest, Brother Abdul Haq Manak, who is from Indonesia, speaking to us for the first time in place of Idris Khamisa today. Abdul Haq, welcome back to the program.
Shukran. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother.
We have been having an interesting chat thus far. Character and intention. This is the thing that we've been learning from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about character, when the Sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what is the key to Jannah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said two things. It's very simple. One is taqwa, that is the ever consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and second is husnul khulq, that is the good character. So the good character is one of the keys to Jannah, and definitely in our daily lives we see the effects of good character, and we see the effects of bad character as well. And then together with that intention, why we do our whatever we do, and what is our motivation behind doing that, that affects the quality of what we do as well as the effect that it has on people and on ourselves as well. So character and intention, how important is that in our lives practically?
Gee, brother, that is critical. You know, an individual's character is one of the most important aspects of life. And yes, All right, good character is the key to Jannah. Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also, the best person amongst my ummah is a person with good character. You know, honestly, while acts of worship hold great significance in Islam, Islam is a way of life. Everything in a Muslim's life, including his manners, his behavior, his personality, should be in line with Islam. And you know, the proper Islamic values and traits are extremely important, not to mention its relevance, you know, in our daily lives as Muslims. Even though they are unfortunately neglected at some times, I believe that character, good character, is the fundamental aspect in our lives. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we will be judged. Judged on our character. How did we do that? When we read namaz, how did we read namaz? When we in our relationship with our family, how are we towards our wives? How are we? When we're in business, what kind of transactions are we making? Are we truthful? Are we honest? Are we genuine? How are we acting? Everything is based on our character. Now, if you look at character and you step down, you know, if we have the right character and we think we have the right character, we then ask ourselves a question. Every act, what do we do? Intention. What is our intention doing that act? When we set out every morning when we wake up, we have a choice. We can wake up for Fajr or we can sleep. When we hear the Azan, we can decide what to do. Our choice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this magnificent gift of a choice. Every one of us have a choice. I believe that, for example, you know, if you look at an example and you say Rosie, and yes, Maulana, and you will be aware with this, that Rosi is given to us at a certain day, that it's written for us already, correct, Maulana?
See, that's absolutely correct.
If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, and it's written down already, that we're going to get 2,000 rands that day at the end of the day, no matter what happens, Maulana, we will get that 2,000 rands, correct?
Yes.
Now, when it comes to intention, when we set out to work every day, and we know, yet we don't know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, because He knows, He's the magnificent, He's the most merciful, He's the gracious, He's the omnipresent, He's aware of every little detail. And He knows that at the end of the day we're going to get a 2,000 rand, we're still unaware of it. So we set out now a day for business, and we will have two choices to make that day. The first is the choice of a challenge, the choice of shaitan. He will come to us. And yes, someone will come to us in a brilliant deal and offer us how we can make 2,000 rands that day. And we have a choice. When we know what we've learned, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us knowledge, intellect, that through knowledge we learn what is right, what is wrong, what is halal, what is haram, what is pure, what is impure, what is jais, what is najais, and what is truthful and what is not truthful. And if that transaction is not truthful, we have a choice. That first choice, shaitan will persuade us. He will push us. He will talk to us in a voice from inside saying, yes, you can. Here's a quick deal. He'll put it in such a beautiful way, like fragrance, that we will be enchanted by it. And yes, if we make that choice, there's our rosy gone. And yes, we have earned 2,000 rands. But that brother that holds back and say no to shaitan knows that he trusts Allah. If you're Allah, in my character I have learned, and I know what is right, what is wrong. And my intention is to please you. That whatever I do, I ask myself one question before I act. Will my Allah be happy with me? Will my Allah be truly happy with me? And if your answer is yes or no, if it's no on the first, you carry on. And you keep working honestly, truthfully. At the end of the day, alhamdulillah, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written their 2,000 rands for you in a halal way. And somehow, someone will call you and you will get that rosy. The choice of intention is ours. Our character is based on what we decide. No one else chooses that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge, the intellect, and the heart and the emotion to decide. We can decide what we want. But sometimes we hold back. We get into this quick deal and we think it's the right way. and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best person among my ummah is a person with good character. And you are so right. Good character is the key to Jannah. We have got all the treasures of how to enter Jannah. Are we utilizing it, my beloved brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us. He's given us two choices. And we have to make that decision. And if we make all the right decisions, when we meet our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, at our last breath, and when we ask to say La ilaha illallah, could we say the kalima easily? If we have, it will come easily to our lips. That's not true, brother, from a Islamic point of view.
Gigi, before we go on to that, we have a person, a caller on the line. Let's take the call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother's name Abdullah.
Yes.
Yes, he's given a very encouraging report, alhamdulillah. I think if more sisters and brothers can come on air, or they can write it out and it can be read, then it will be very effectful. What I want to say is that, you know, I think generally we Indian Muslims are so reserved people that if there's a divorce or something, you know, that's depressing or something, then we go in a shell and then we worry. What will the people say? The people can say what they want to. It's your life. You've got to live it and you've got to enjoy it, because Allah Ta'ala created you in the best form, and to show your appreciation, you worship Allah Ta'ala and you carry on in life. Imagine a dog. That is also a creation of Allah Ta'ala that opened Brother Abdullah's mind, his eyes, his mind, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, so much can be achieved, you know. If we can have small workshops in our home also, you know, with our children, then the children will build confidence. You do go off the track, but then Allah Ta'ala takes you off the track perhaps, so that He brings you back. There's a reason for it. I always say there's khair in everything. And there was a khair. Where he was alone, he was with his creator, and on top of the mountain he could think carefully and see everything around him created by Allah Ta'ala.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullah. Abdullah, you have a few minutes remaining. Can you highlight us on the project that you're currently doing, and your motivational speaking programs and workshops that you're running?
Gee, there's a few that we're doing. The one is on Saturday at Image Lifestyle, where it's all about funspiration. Sometimes we are too serious and we hold back. So we're going to create a fun element where people get involved in a fun way, where we create workshops for them and assist them. That's on Saturday at Image Lifestyle. And then next week, on the 20th of May, Brother Uncle Idris Kamisa will be at Lanesia at the LMA Madrasa, at the LMA in Duck Avenue here. And we appeal to all our sisters, and the sister that called in and she talked about relationships and the importance of relationships and all these little aspects of how the children can unleash the potential. I think the key ingredient is all of us are waiting and burning to unleash our potential. This workshop will be based on that. It's in the morning from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Brother Idris will be spending a lot of time, and I will just be adding in with him and another lady called Farzana, speaking on how we can have one life and how we can change our life. And then if people want a little more and more information, on the 23rd of May in Benoni, at the hall there, Uncle Idris will come again, and Friday evening he will speak again to the community in Benoni. So he's going to come into the area and speak to them on how they can change their life, embrace change with enthusiasm, and take control of your life. And a lot of women will be attending that. We've already got a great response there. And if people want to work for a workshop on the 24th and 25th of May, Iconic Leaders, which Uncle Idris is part of, and I'm also involved in that, we're going to speak on I Just Have One Life. Share all our experiences with an Islamic touch, how you can become positive, how you can become more proactive, how you can change your life through real life challenges. And Brother Idris is very good with that. So inshallah, if any of the listeners are interested, please come to our workshop. It's all about improving ourselves, getting better, unleashing your potential. And sometimes when we listen to talks, we listen to inspiration talks, we think we heard such a great talk, and we can change, but we don't need so much. It's just we have five keys in us. And the sixth key could be one lesson that we learned. When we apply that technique, when we apply that lesson, and we put it into our life and we do it over and over and over again, it's taking a small step. I started by reading one namaz, and then it became two, then it became three. We all can succeed. We don't have to do big, make big changes. If you want to improve our relationship, it just takes, decide today to talk to your loved one. And alhamdulillah, if that's the smallest step you can do, take that step. If you want to improve our health, go for the walk around the stadium. If you want to improve our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just focus when you read namaz. Change, just put yourself in a state that I must be present. Allah is watching me, and we focus. And we know that Allah is watching us. When we go into subhanallah, we say, thank you, ya Allah, for making us Muslims. Subhanallah, ya Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we live our lives like this, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow opportunities to come, barakah to fall in our lives, and we'll make a difference. And we will change ourselves, our families, and our communities, and our neighbors. And that is what we are for. We are to serve. We have to make a difference. And inshallah, I appeal to the brothers and sisters that are listening, please come to our event on those days. And if they want any more information, they can contact Firoza Fakir, who is part of the organizer running all bookings for Uncle Idris Kamisa. And Han, can I give my number on radio?
Yes, you're welcome to do that.
And they can contact her on 084, that is 084-555-8526. And she will give you a complete breakdown on all the events that Brother Idris Kamisa is holding and workshops where we will be running with him, inshallah. And Jazakallah, brother. Jazakallah for allowing me to speak and share my story.
Jazakallah khairan, Abdul Haq. And inshallah, we hope that this is not the only occasion. Perhaps we could speak to you some other time as well. Inshallah. Shukran jazilan for your time on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.